Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite podcast show of all time, Patreon edition. Special Patreon edition. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and this show is called Knowing Is, well, you know. Thank you. That can only mean we are joined once again by Eileen Mary O'Connell.
Hello!
I just found out you were Twitter verified. Is that correct?
I am Twitter verified. I've been for almost a year.
Almost a year?
It's almost my verified.
Now, do you think that the blue check mark next to your name
makes me better than you? Yes, I do, Ray.
Well, that's already understood. I was going to say, do you think it brings more trolls to the yard?
Oh, yes.
And they're like, we're mansplaining better than yours.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you seem to run into them a lot.
I do.
On the Twitters.
I tweet a lot about a goofy movie, and I made a goofy movie tweet just the other day.
You did. I saw that. I liked that. Somebody said, what is it, get out of here, you feminist?
Yes, but I mean, the tweet was after the Oscar nominations happened, and I said, my Oscar prediction, another clean sweep for the goofy movie. For the 23rd year in a row.
Solid joke.
Which is the most feminist.
Fine.
most feminist tweet that has ever been.
I suppose, yeah. I didn't understand where the connection between that and feminism was.
I don't know.
Now, are there women in a goofy movie?
Yeah. Roxanne.
Okay. I'll have to admit, I've never actually seen a goofy movie.
Ray.
Oh, no. That was a look of pure rancor. Why?
I'm coming back. Well, first of all, we are covering Space Jam at some point.
We're covering Space. No, I actually had a idea for Space. This is a separate podcast.
No, how did this happen?
No, this was established the last time I recorded with you guys.
There is a podcast out there that watches 1 minute of Star Wars and then does a full podcast about every minute of each Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if we did every minute of Space Jam?
Ooh.
With you. We could do like 90-some episodes or however many minutes Space Jam is.
I'm 100% down for this.
And then we could do like a full like hour-long about each minute of Space Jam. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
It's my powerhouse. But I also we need to cover a goofy movie.
Well, that would be the
follow-up. Inviting myself over.
You feminist.
Space Jam is a very feminist movie.
It's pretty fantastic, yeah. It really talks about women's liberation.
Lola Bunny is great at basketball, and she doesn't want to be called doll. She just wants to play basketball. That's as feminist as it gets.
And that sort of relates to the episode we're watching today. Oh, hi Robert. Hi, Robert Clark.
Right into. No. Let's not have names on this podcast. Let's just do this thing and wash it from our brains.
Because this, we're watching Biker Mice from Mars, a show I've seen before because I couldn't believe it was on at like 3 a.m. on like a Thursday when I was scanning for crazy animations to watch for my old blog where I would get drunk and watch cartoons and then recap them.
How fun.
Yeah, that's my life when I was single, Eileen. I can't believe I didn't pick on faster than I did.
Wow. Somebody loves him now, folks.
Yeah, no, this is definitely work for married people because they're... You're legally bound to them. They can't leave.
Yeah.
So now you engage in your awful predilections. Like, let me relive my childhood.
It's pretty much
while inebriated.
How every day of my life passes. Oh dear.
Ray's a mess.
Oh guys, it's not as together as I'd like people to believe it is.
Nobody believes that it is.
Oh no. Even the veneer is shot.
One of our fantastic fans, Rob Sanchez, drew a picture of us.
Sorry, I got mentioned.
And it looks very good. But he could as well have just drawn just a pile of hot garbage, and that also would have been very accurate.
I appreciate that draw. It's now all of our Facebook profile pictures.
So good.
All three of us had to change it. And I just, you know, I love the picture, but why do you have to draw those bags under my eyes? And he could have drawn me with more hair. I'm just putting it out there. I have more hair than that picture.
Minimized as well as he could have.
He's like, I'm not wasting ink on this guy's hair.
I'm not wasting ink on that lie. But you were saying before about female characters who want to be taken seriously in a male-dominated world, and that defines this episode of Biker Mice from Mars, Lake Michigan.
Whoa.
More like Michigan.
Had you ever seen this? Were you aware of its existence?
I was aware of its existence. I had never seen it.
All right.
So this was an adventure.
I only knew of it, I believe, in reference to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. Like after that became like a just a crazy huge indie hit back in the 80s. Like there's a whole bunch of things that came after it that were just like adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters.
I still have those comics, sir. I have a bunch of those comics, and they are a delight.
I assume Biker Mice from Mars was of that generation.
This episode is season 2, episode 24, which is maybe one of the most upsetting things I've ever said on this podcast, is that this show got at least 2 seasons.
It got 3 seasons, 65 episodes.
Oh my gosh. There you go. There's so much backstory that I didn't know.
So much you missed going into this all the tendrils of plot. So they're mutants. I don't know, they're from Mars, so they're not mutants at least. They're of Mars because they have a little antenna, mm-hmm. if you notice that in passing. And they're giant rock hard mice.
They were rock hard, and so was I.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's very good.
There was one particular shot where they like glazed over and like one of them had a rippling like veiny muscle and then the other guy was in the next shot with these like rock hard abs
and
I was just like, Eileen.
They had the most incredible abs.
Eileen.
You felt it from all the way across Los Angeles.
I felt the lady boner coming from the other side of LA.
Boing.
I said, I think she's got some new crushes. Maybe 3 of them.
Every time I come on this podcast, I have all new loves.
Now, how do these guys compare to Dr. Glockenspiel from DuckTales?
Okay. What Dr. Glockenspiel has in his brains, they have on their bodies.
So long as they're bringing something to the table.
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're okay with these biker mice, though, because, like, I wrote this down, and I was very proud of it. They're clearly mousogenists.
Oh, whoa! God, whoa! Whoa!
Every other word is like, hey,
oh my God.
Cool it, babe. Go stay at home. We're going to take care of this. They treated Charlie like shit the entire time.
Charlie was the female.
Yeah, Charlie.
A human.
And she's like, she was basically April O'Neil. I mean, she wore the same kind of jumpsuits. Yeah. She was, I mean, good looking. She was like 8 feet tall. Near as I could tell, she was a giant person. they were basically one step soft of go make me a sandwich while we handle the bad guys, lady.
Yeah.
And that was problematic.
But she should have just tried to change them.
clearly she was
doing
that.
Yeah.
Like maybe if I save them from this terrible tractor device, then they'll see me as a person and maybe as some sort of equal.
But they didn't.
Nope. Like, thanks. Thanks. We would have taken care of it. But thanks for the help anyway. We got to go.
Didn't even say thank you, but you give them too much credit. Because remember when they leave, she's, well, I guess I'll just thank myself or something like that. It was the saddest moment of my entire life.
That was the saddest moment of your entire life?
If you can believe it, was the saddest moment.
Wow.
No, you don't believe it.
I don't, because I know and hang out with you.
Wait a minute. You're probably right. I would say, like, there's a real quick aside before we get started. I really felt like this character of Charlie really, in its own small way, represents women in entertainment today, where she finally gets the cool job working with the cool guys, and it turns out they're fucking horrible, and so what do you do? Do you just go back to your life as a plain mechanic away from all this exciting save-the-world stuff, or do you put up with the misogyny because they clearly don't care? I felt like there was a strong parallel to be drawn in today's world. What do you think?
It's just like being in a writer's room.
Hashtag mice too.
Jesus.
I hope we all feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah.
For any number of reasons.
Nobody's getting out of this episode happy. I can promise that right now. then we open up this episode and they're on the beach playing volleyball with their motorcycles with 3 of them. Mm-hmm. How does that work exactly?
If you're the biker mice from Mars.
Yeah, they're biker mice from Mars.
You don't go places without your bike.
No, I get that.
You think the Harlem Globetrotters don't globetrot?
My thought is more so, don't you need at least 4 people to play volleyball? How do you play with only 3 people? Or is this a Mars sport?
It might be a Mars sport.
Don't worry about that.
Although, to be fair, I guess they were only playing 1v1, and then the third guy was fishing. Which can be done by yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was
Still, it just it seemed odd to me that just, like, we ever, like, grab one person and go play volleyball? Just go play ping pong or something. Like, there's just better sports.
You're on the
beach, biker mice.
You're on the beach. Yeah, that's
beach
what you
activity.
Do.
And maybe ping pong's not extreme enough.
I have actually played one person volleyball, and it sucks because it's a very, very big field that you have to cover.
That's so lonely.
No, one-on-one. Not solo.
I got so worried.
I'm going to bump to myself.
Chan in the rain.
Bump set.
On the
Spike.
Beach.
Oh, I lost.
Meanwhile, his iPhone in his pocket is just playing, "Don't you forget about me, rain." Splap.
Oh, no.
What? Splush.
What?
Oh,
no.
I'm so sad.
That song is for the end of movies when you're happy.
No. Not in my life. and immediately, the biker mice are disrespecting Charlie. She's out there trying to grill up some hot dogs for him, and then they're just like hitting the volleyball. And it's like they're trying at that point to hit the volleyball at her because she seems like she's a great distance away, and yet the ball hits her like three or four times.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's like, guys, I noticed you.
And then they're complaining that like she's not getting the hot dogs made in time. Like, what? Because you're hitting me in the head with a fucking muddy volleyball.
It's so hard being a woman.
And then the way the animators, like, it's like, I'm supposed to take, I mean, in this thing, in this episode, I'm supposed to take the side of the mice against her. Because if you notice when they knock the hot dogs up in the air, there's one shot of animation where the hot dogs land in her hair like horns.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh my God, are you really actually thinking that I'm supposed to think they're the cool ones and she's the problem? Yeah, she didn't make those hot dogs fast enough. Get on it, lady pants. Meanwhile, she just came out to the beach to have a beach day, and she's stuck in the corner over, like, what looks like, I don't know, a trash can, heating up hot dogs for the biker mice. Like, this is not an equitable distribution of labor.
It's not.
Emotional or physical.
You are picking up a lot of terms and phrases lately, right?
I've been doing it, yeah. I've been reading a lot of what Gina posts on Facebook. Anyway. Yeah, so she decides, I'm done with the hot dogs. Have your stupid hot dogs, men, with your wieners. And so she decides she's going to just rip, in like one motion, she's going to rip off her apron to reveal her like bikini she was wearing underneath it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she's covered in mustard at this point. It also must be mentioned. Mm-hmm. She goes to jump off of, how high is that cliff?
Yep. She's gonna go wash it off because that, now that the dudes have done their thing, she's going to do it in the most male gazy way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to run and bounce all the way to the edge of the water.
Yep.
And then dive in and get soaking.
But like that cliff that she's diving into the lake of is at least conservatively 5,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, well, when you 5,000 feet.
The first shot, it's because it's like right next to where the other dude is fishing, is like 10 feet. It's a little high, but okay, whatever.
Yes.
And then the water drains away from. And I guess there's just a sharp drop off to the Marianas Trench.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because by the time she gets to jump in, you look down and it's like the bottom of the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
And also all the water is like replaced with toxic sludge.
Yes.
Including barrels somehow.
Yep. As I understand it, this bad guy.
Ray,
I don't know,
looks so disgusted.
I just don't. These environmental cartoons from the 90s that try to give you a message, and the message makes no sense because they don't get into the profit motive of corporations for ruining the environment.
Well, hold on now.
Well, I guess they do in this one.
Yeah, this one legitimately does, and it also explains why they're it's like when you're making tea, you dip the tea bags into the water to flavor the water.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is making fancy water that's flavored with toxins and what have you, and he just dumped those in there, just like little sachets of delicious toxic tea.
And I'm fine with that. Like, you know, I mean, water belongs to Nestle, so if they get fucked, who cares?
You know,
that's my attitude, right? and so they have to yell, scream, don't dive! It's 100,000 feet down into toxic waste barrels somehow. And then it's like, cliffhanger. We need a theme song now. And Chan, do you have a little recording of this theme song.
Please.
Of all
please,
the theme songs we've heard, I have thoughts on this one.
I am very disappointed in this. I mean, say what you will about some of the other really on-the-nose songs out there. At least they tell you something about the cartoon. Sometimes it's like, here's the story about four turtles who were splashed with goo and then developed martial arts powers, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, well, that's a little bit much.
Oh, is that the Berenstain Bears show?
Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain Bears, I know it.
This one, there was nothing. There was just like sweet guitar riffs. And like, because I wanted to know the effing story.
Now, wait a minute.
There are biker mice is a weird thing. Mars is a weird thing. Explain to me how any of that works.
Chan,
and they're like, nope, here's just a bunch of vroom vroom.
Did you have a lot of trouble with Mad Max Fury Road? Because they told the story visually, Chan. They didn't have to use a lot of fancy words and dialogue to explain things. Visually, they told you the story. They show Mars, and then they show biker mice, and then they're on it, and they have antennas, so they're clearly of Mars. Mm-hmm. And then there's fish people, and they're like fighting, and the fish people are bad. Mad Max Fury Road of cartoon intros.
The fish people are from a totally different planet.
Apparently, yes. That's not really got into in the theme song at all.
No. Again, so much rich backstory that I'm not aware of.
I assume in the previous 40 or some odd episodes must be of this show probably explained a lot of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments before.
Well, this is the weird thing, because the fish people seem to wear human masks and go out and like and just act as just like great big fat people. Like, that's just like that's their life on this planet with fucked up hands. And they can live and like be like corporate overlords and run massive, corporate entities and what have you. The biker mice just show up with like their leather vests and rock hard abs and don't seem to make any effort to fit in whatsoever. Maybe that's why they're having trouble.
Okay, well, I will say this because I was just watching this thing over again, and here's my deal with it. The fact that it's a minute long and doesn't offer any information is a bother to me.
Not much.
If it's 20 seconds long and, you know, it's just like, bam, 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 cool. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to spend that much time of a 21 minute show, give me some information. And I feel like later on in the episode, there was this other scene. I don't remember where it was, but it like cuts back to the bad guys while things are going on, and like, okay, let's proceed with our plan. I'm like, you could have just cut that. All you had to they were proceeding like every 15 minutes, are they like, are we still proceeding with the plan? Yes, we are. Okay, good. And then just check it every 15 minutes, like, still with the plan, right? The one that we were doing 15 minutes before? Yeah, we are.
But the crazy thing is those scenes were like 3 minutes long a piece of just nothing dialogue. I said before we started, I would finish those scenes and then be like, oh, I didn't write anything down because literally nothing happened outside of butt jokes.
After talking to Buzz, now I'm beginning to suspect when these things come up that they're just intentional budget-cutting devices.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Buzz was telling us like normally a show.
Buzz Dixon, story editor and head writer of G.I. Joe.
Okay. All right. You guys are fancy.
Thank you, guys.
Whatever.
People draw pictures of us. I don't want to make you feel bad.
That's fine. People tweet at me when I tweet about a Goofy movie and call me a feminist, which I am, and that's not a problem. But why?
He was saying like it costs like $600,000 to make an episode of this television show, but there are some people who would like cut corners, and they would like they would sell other television shows and then use that money to pay off this, and you know, keep going to the point and
Ponzi
then
scheme.
Like each successive episode then would
require less resources.
You would have less money to make it, and so he was contracted to write this cartoon with a $60,000 budget. And so he was like, okay, we need a lot of like reaction shots. So just 2 seconds of cutting to this character just going like, oh. And that's how they would save money.
I mean, doesn't that explain a lot of anime as well, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Dragon Ball Z, for example.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Ha, ha, ha. 50 times over.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
I love it, though.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
If you make it work for you.
Yes.
You make it. if most of my sketches that I write involve 10-second reaction shots. People like, and you know, if you turn that into an animation, fine. But
I'm into it.
This into it. Feels cheap.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think honestly, I feel like the theme song was more so to convey an emotion than it was to convey information. You have to understand, like, the people that this is for.
There's a certain Nugentosity to it all.
Very much so. Like, if you would have told me, yeah, Kid Rock wrote this, I would have been like, yeah.
Kid Rock, when he was actually a kid.
When he was like Baby Rock.
Aw, Baby Rock.
Biker Mice from Mars. Bow, wow, wow, wow. Biker Mice from Mars. Bow, to bow, the bang. Like, I'm just saying, like, it would have made sense to me. Like, and yes, it, I think it's also a cost-cutting measure now to make your theme song for a 20-minute cartoon 1 minute long with an extra minute of closing credits on top of it. very, very easy to get away with here. But here we go. So the water is now toxic waste. And the biker mice, two of the mice take the volleyball net that they were just using, strap it between their bikes, and jump through the air to catch her to save her from the fall.
Right, right, right. 9.8 meters per second is the speed of gravity.
Oh,
so the
wow.
speed at which
high school
her flashbacks. Body is accelerating through space off of this cliff.
The cliff, which is, as a reminder, 5,000 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a little bit
way
of time
up there.
We got a little bit of time.
They had time to finish the hot dogs, make a few off-the-cuff, soft, misogynistic comments, grab the net.
Do some crunches for their abs.
Well, I don't want to leave out the crunches.
They never stop crunching. No, no, I don't think they crunch. I think they've got those... Bruce Lee electrodes that they like attach.
Oh, nice.
They just always.
I think they do Pilates.
I don't know. I feel like somewhere in the entirety of the 65 episodes of this show, one of them at some point says, "We never skip ab day."
I hope so. It
feels like something that would be said.
Again, there's so much rich history before this episode. Maybe that's like one of the catchphrases and we just don't know.
And the other thing that really excited. Oh, sorry. You had a point about gravity before I launch.
You know
diatribe.
What? Don't worry about it. Because they clearly did not.
They did. The writers didn't. So why should we? My whole thing here is, did you notice that when they make the decision to go to the base of the person who clearly must have, Dr. Limburger or whatever, who clearly must have been the one to turn into toxic waste, they're drinking sodas, but they make a point to show that they throw the sodas in the soda cans in the proper receptacles, because littering isn't cool, even in the most extreme of circumstances. Littering the beach kids.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, there is that, like you were saying, this like real strong Captain Planet kind of vibe to everything, and everybody's like very concerned about the environment. I don't want to say that that's bad.
The problem is it feels disingenuous coming from the very corporate entities that caused the pollutions in the first place. Like, it's like 62% or something of pollution is from corporations and agriculture, and I think it's 8% of pollution comes from actual you and me. So when the corporation tells you you need to buckle down and not litter to save the planet, it comes across a little disingenuous to me.
All right, well, here's the thing, though. This show is created by Rick Ungar, who was the head of Marvel Entertainment, Marvel Productions.
Okay.
So back before the Marvel Cinematic Universe was a thing, there was an arm of Marvel that did, you know, animated stuff like that.
Does that mean there was a comic book of Biker Mice from Mars?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Guys, my birthday's in March.
Mine is in February, and if you get me a Biker Mice from Mars comic book, we are no longer friends.
God damn it, now I kind of have to. I feel like you've just drawn the line and I have to cross it. Oh, no. All right, well, we'll just file that one away.
I'm just saying, like, Marvel Entertainment, you know, it's a corporation, but it's, as far as pollution, probably doesn't do a whole lot. It's not there.
Not comparatively speaking.
No.
But, I mean, you know.
Like, I'm sure the commercials were for some god-awful, I don't know, pharmaceuticals probably. There's probably some Levitra ads.
Levitra ads during Biker Mice from Mars in 1994.
Saturday mornings, yeah. Why not?
Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that's legal.
It was for cereal. It was only for cereal. It's the only thing they advertised was cereal and other cartoons to sell you cereal. That was the extent of 90s cartoons. I mean, how would I know that? I was in high school at that point and very much nearing adulthood, so I wouldn't have been watching.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Wow, that would be a sad man thing to do.
My other question about all of this... My other question about all of this is, why not just call the feds? Surely this is above the pay grade of the biker mice from Mars. If they're turning entire bodies of American water into toxic waste, call the ATF.
The feds have all been paid off.
Please.
The leaders are all reptilians.
Oh, that's
they're in cahoots with the fish people.
Okay.
This is obvious. Obvious. Everybody knows. Jet fuel doesn't mean it still moves. Let's move on.
To quote my favorite line in the movie Sister Act... You can't leave it up to the feds.
You know what?
You mean the lesser of the Sister Act films?
I don't mean that.
Listen, back in the habit. That was a Sister Act thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill.
Literally, I know.
Case closed.
No. No.
Can I tell you briefly? I was doing a show known as Top Story Weekly.
Oh wow! Probably, Sunday 7:30 p.m. at iOS.
Now it is. Yeah.
This is not a shill for.
But back then it was called Big News.
Oh,
and
I don't care about that.
I was
pre me.
I was rehearsing on Hollywood Boulevard. Not to drop names.
Wow.
But
the Hollywood
dropping
Boulevard
street names.
Dropping street
That's
names.
Not a
guys,
thing,
I've
Ray.
Been to a street.
That's not a thing.
Ray, you don't go outside. Don't lie.
Don't worry about that. But there was a hamburger place, like one of these like hole in the wall, 6 months and it's gone hamburger places, mm-hmm. like, you know, right on, I think, I want to say it wasn't Ivar, but it was Cahuenga maybe.
Mm.
And I went there to have in between, like, it's at the time there was a half hour break between like rehearsal and then the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was all in, it was a one stop shop of here we go. And so I went there and they were showing Sister Act on the TV.
Yes.
In this hamburger place that I was at to have something to eat. And I will say right now, I got so invested in watching Sister Act, I almost missed the show.
That's what happens. Sister Act is always on TV when I need it the most.
Yes.
I don't know how it knows, but like I'll just like turn it on. I'll be having a horrible day, like extenuating circumstances, and it'll be on. I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch the whole thing because I want to see the final scene when they sing for the Pope.
the sad part is I'd already finished all the food I was there to eat, and I'm still sitting in this hamburger place, and they're coming over like, is there something else we can get for you? I'm like, no, just enjoying Sister Act. They did not understand. Can I say right now, they didn't get me.
It's one of the perfect movies. I would rank that very high up, like close to Goofy movie territory.
Wow.
I love Sister Act so much.
We're learning a lot today about all of us. Okay, so the plot, if we can call it one, excuse me, of this episode is the fish people... Limburger and Dr. Demented.
Is that really his name?
Dr. Demented was the bald scientist guy.
Wow. Okay.
Dr. Demented, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't process anybody's names.
I had to write it down. Like I literally started writing like villain, doctor. I'm like, oh, they have names. I better write them in the corner just so I can recall them later.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is they're turning bodies of water into toxic waste to bottle as water because they are Nestle.
Yes.
That's the gist of this. 20 years later, that became a real thing that we had to worry about. And they're shipping it off to the planet of the fish people, who, because the water...
Oh, wait, no. Okay, yes. Okay, I finally looked it up. He probably at one point called him Dr. Demented. His name...
Oh, is it not really Dr. Demented?
It's Dr. Carbuncle.
Dr. Carbuncle.
Dr. Benjamin Boris Zachary Carbuncle.
Then don't introduce him by calling him a totally different name. This is Writing 101, people.
We are many episodes into the series.
That
so.
Does
yeah.
not matter.
We don't know. We don't know if they have a fun nickname. We don't know what their rapport is because there's so much rich backstory.
Guys, we know anything about anything. You can't do that because every time could be someone's first time. Every time somebody witnesses your show.
That's how I approach all my dates.
Well, probably
this could
a good
be your
thing.
First date. So I'm going to allow that you've never had any interactions with a member of the other.
Eileen, we've been dating
sex.
For 2 years. Please, when we first talk, refer to me first as Eileen Mary O'Connell, just so everyone's established.
Please refer to me as Eileen Mary O'Connell blue check mark. I'm verified on Twitter.
Oh my goodness gracious.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Ow, my ears. She's terrible.
She's great.
You're being too easy on her, Hulk.
I like things to be easy.
Like 10-10-220.
Exactly.
I know 10-10-220 is cheap, but it's easy too.
Yeah, there's no signing up. You just pick up the phone and dial it.
And all calls up to 20 minutes are 99 cents.
Easy and cheap. I'll have to try it. Thank you.
I told you she was great.
You should switch to decaf.
Dial 10-10-220.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, so they bottle the water, and the water is so popular, they up the order by 64,000 times overnight, and I'll pick them up today, which is so corporate.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to talk about corporations a lot in this episode, because every aspect of this is fucking corporate to me. And this is the most real part of it right here is, hey, your numbers. Oh, yeah, your numbers are great. You're profitable as a business, da-da-da. Well, we've decided you need to be triple that, and actually by the end of the week. Thank you. Welcome to corporate America, ladies and gentlemen.
Real specific incidents, right?
Don't know what you're talking about, Chan. Corporations don't screw people over in their jobs after 7 years.
Oh, there is a rich backstory here, Eileen.
Yes, there is.
Unfortunately, you came in on this episode, and I'm not going to get into it and reintroduce it.
I will say, backing up just a little bit, there were a couple weird things that the mice were saying as they were coming up. One of them was,
why don't we just pay him a little surprise visit and check his pipes?
check his pipes was a little weird.
Check his pipes.
Because it just felt... They were going to pull down his pants and just start grabbing on his nuts.
They were going to give him a yank.
But then right after that...
His pipes, Nespa.
Nespa. Why are they speaking French all of a sudden?
You know what? This is a Bill and Ted thing. I feel like that's a Bill and Ted thing. That's a type of thing that they would have said. And I believe this dialogue, they took out a lot of the homophobia, and then they kept what was left, the other 10% of Bill and Ted's.
Gotcha.
Guys, that movie does not hold up, just for the record.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, if you haven't seen it recently, just don't.
Just a lot of F-bombs being
dropped? Oh, yes, it is.
Just watch Sister Act instead.
Thank you. Thank you. Sister Act, though. Holds up entirely.
It holds up. It doesn't just hold up. It holds my heart up.
It lifts you up. Bill and Ted's problematic.
But in general, it's weird because for all that the mice are like just little jackholes that I would want to have nothing to do with.
Awful. They're cultured, though.
The writers are clearly very smart, and all the... the bad guys' dialogue, if it weren't so grating, like they're actually kind of funny. They have to do a lot of they have to use a lot of words.
Yes, the bad guys talk far too much in this.
Yeah, and they have to do a lot of like, oh, your surliness, oh, your grossness, and you know, like calling them by all sorts of names, and they have to keep coming up with new ones like every single time.
Yeah.
I don't know how that holds up over 60 some episodes.
Well, we found it. This is where it ends after 60 some episodes.
This is the final episode where they all blew their brains out afterwards. Couldn't take it anymore.
This is where they decided enough was enough. So what was with the bit where the guy's clothes kept melting off because he kept getting splashed with toxic waste?
That what you just said, the bit.
Oh, that was the whole
bit.
He keeps getting splashed with toxic waste and his clothes melt off. I wrote it down just in case we wanted to talk about it, but clearly we don't because it's very forgettable and unnecessary.
I forgot about it.
At first, his straps on his like Oshkosh Bagosh overalls melt, so it keeps falling down. He's got to keep picking them up. Yep. Then the overalls themselves melt away to reveal polka-dotted boxer shorts, because of course. And then, of course, at the end of the scene, you got to heighten Eileen.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You're scaring the fish.
And his full-on fish penis is showing.
I think this guy is a human being, actually.
No, they're all wearing human suits, but they're all fish people. Because they keep swapping the one fish, the human mask they have back and forth during the scene, which is just really, really strange. Because the Limburger has a fish head and a human body, looks like Kingpin of fish people. And then he has to talk to the overlord guy. He doesn't want to. So he has overalls I didn't get his
name. His
name
is Grease Pit.
Grease Pit.
A.K.A. Everybody Loves Raymond's brother.
A.K.A. Brad Garrett. A.K.A. Hulk Hogan in Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Wow.
Was this
Ray.
Was it still pre Everybody Loves Raymond?
I think so.
Must have been. Here's the deal. It was of that era if it wasn't before.
I'm just thinking, like, man, is he still doing these gigs after he gets his sweet-ass sitcom job?
Egon, I'm mad we mentioned Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling as well. There's a baby in the room.
Guys, there's a baby in the room. It's not mine. I know what you're thinking, because I'm a woman, but it's not mine.
Well, it can't be yours, because you're a feminist. Feminists don't have babies.
That's true.
Duh.
Feminists are all man-haters.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Science hasn't progressed to that point yet.
Mm-mm.
Sorry, Eileen Mario hater.
Blue check mark.
Blue check mark.
You can call me whatever you want. Just don't forget the verify.
Please don't forget the blue check mark. It's literally all I have.
It's who I am, people.
It's who I am, blue check mark, and blue check mark is I.
Here lies Eileen Mary O'Connell, blue check mark. That's it. Twitter verified.
Mm-hmm.
What was the butt greeting? Because they call back to this butt greeting between the fish people like 4 times in this 20-minute episode. It must be important.
No,
or
I
is
mean,
it just a cheap gag of these fish people have butts?
No, I think it's the fish people are grotesque in a number of ways. This is one of them, that their ritual greeting is rubbing butts and
against like monitors and cameras.
Well, no, because later on they do it in person. So it's
they
just
do.
Like, you know, it's like if you were talking on the phone and you were like, good evening, your highness, your royal oafishness, and you are, you know, or when they announce people, when they come into those ballroom things and like,
yes.
The third earl of something, 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 something. It's just like that, only over a video phone.
But you have to do it every time you talk to somebody?
It's the king or president or whatever.
Yeah, I was very unclear. I mean, was it royalty or elected?
I'm pretty sure that every time that Donald Trump walks into a room, he does this. He forces people to rub butts with him.
And also he demands the ceremonial 2 scoops of ice cream to everyone else's 1 scoop of ice cream, which is by far my favorite Trump story that came out of the White House.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yes. At dinner, Trump has 2 scoops of ice cream, as everyone else at the table is only allowed to be deigned 1 scoop of ice cream.
I love that fact. Almost as much as I love from the Stormy Daniels interview.
Oh, dear. So much.
The pizza. He wanted a pizza.
With
little pizzas on top as if they were pepperonis, but really they're little pizzas. And I was like, I finally genuinely found a thing about Trump that I like. I find that so endearing.
I assume that all of these things are actually made up, fake, cartoonishly jokey things. But if it makes you feel better, then absolutely, you should... You should go on thinking that he is an actual person with that you could connect with on some level, even if that level is tiny pizzas.
I would love a pizza with tiny pizzas on top.
You know, you can find a middle ground with anybody.
That's true.
I believe.
Pizza's the unifier. That's what we're learning.
Yeah, I think Idi Amin would also agree. Like, I want the pizzas with tiny pizzas.
If we could get in the Middle East, just pull them together that way with pizzas on top of pizzas.
Yep, yep, yep.
This is how he's going to save the world.
Yep. This is kids.
Or completely destroy it. One
Palestinians and Israelis, have them sit down at the Wailing Wall, hand out just a crap ton of these pizzas.
Mm-hmm. Get that Domino's pizza tracker working.
Wait, is Domino's selling this?
They should be if they're not already.
I definitely remember.
Pizzas with other pizzas.
Like there was like a Pizza Hut from a foreign country that had a pizza, and all around it, the crust was tiny cheeseburgers.
Oh, we do that. Oh, cheeseburgers. Oh, yeah. We do that now with the stuffed crust. Pizza Hut does that, where it's little nubs of dough filled with cheese.
Oh, baby.
Because you don't hate yourself enough. I want one now.
There's a pizza place near Loyola Marymount, where I went to undergrad, that served, humble brag, I went to college. And they served pizza, and the topping was just French fries.
Oh, see, that's victory.
It was great.
Well, let's get back to Biker Mics for Mars, people.
Oh, that's...
No, I honestly want to keep talking about pizza.
I'm so hungry.
When I found out that a California burrito was a thing, that you would just jam French fries into a burrito, I was like, that's disgusting. And then I had one, I'm like, how have I lived my life without this? And now it's all I can ever eat.
Der Wiener Schnitzel, ladies and gentlemen. A fine establishment.
Der Wiener Schnitzel? What?
That's where I had it for the first time. A French fry stuffed burrito. They dabble in things besides hot dogs, Chan.
They shouldn't. They absolutely shouldn't.
It was delightful, and I'll have you know. So they decide to fill the order with the bottles, and they're gonna drain Lake Michigan and turn it into solid toxic waste. Now, Eileen, you grew up around Lake Michigan.
I did.
Is the fishing there as good as the biker mice seem to imply that it is?
No, it is not.
It's not good at all.
It's not.
In fact, if they added toxic waste to Lake Michigan, would anyone know?
No one. It already is toxic waste.
Thank you. Did you ever once think to yourself, I would swim there?
Maybe when I was young. People do swim there.
Do they?
They do, yeah.
I will ask you, though. If you were a biker mouse from Mars, how would you perceive Lake Michigan?
Oh, first of all, if I was a biker mice from Mars.
Biker mouse?
Biker mice. No, I'm going to be plural mice. Because I can't decide which one I want to be.
If I were three mice stuffed into a trench coat.
Sometimes I feel like I am.
I feel like biker mice would feel right at home in a toxic.
That's fair. No, that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And then Charlie says they're going to need some special, because they're going to dump Charlie at home, because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me about it.
And she says, I'm going to bring some special equipment for these guys. It immediately grabs, you know, that essential equipment of a wrench and a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, never leave home without them.
Like, is that the high-tech devices that they would need?
I definitely made note of it at the time. But then later when she shows up with the special tires, I'm like, okay. That's not what she meant. It was just unfortunate timing. You know.
She brings very special tires, the means to convert the bikes to four-wheel drive off-road vehicles, as well as a winch that she somehow just knew. If I just drag this giant mechanical winch to the edge of this lake, that will probably come in handy at some point.
Yeah. At this point, they're headed towards the corporation to get him to stop draining the lake, right?
Yes.
That's why. And her thought process is, I'm definitely going to need a winch and four-wheel drive kits for these bikes.
She's like Nostradamus up in here.
That is impressive as hell.
She sees it coming. So they apparently just know where the pipe is to go where they are. But yet we find out later they're at a corporate, like, giant, like, building downtown. So they didn't really need to crawl into a pipe at all. They could have just gone to their front door and waited in the lobby.
Yeah. Well, they needed the proof that that all the water was going to them. So
okay. Fair enough, I guess. I mean, let's say it's a little convoluted. So they get wrapped in a chain and then attached an anchor to the chain and dragged to the bottom of Lake Michigan, where they're like, I actually really like this bit where they're like, well, thankfully we have these space helmets on that allow us to breathe underwater and in space, so we will be fine. Yeah. At which point the villain walks over, goes boop, 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 and opens the visors on all their helmets.
Aww.
I found that to be endearing and delightful.
Yeah. I, again, it feels like there are much smarter minds behind this show.
There's a soul behind this somewhere. It's
deep,
it's
deep, deep, deep somewhere.
It's covered in neon paint and radical pizza.
And tribal tattoos.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez.
Smothered in Axe body spray.
Axe is not a thing
then?
In 1994.
No,
are you sure?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
I'm going to look it up because
they didn't vape either, Chan, if you need to ask.
Yeah, that was a pre-vape world.
Look, douchebaggery comes in many forms and evolves through time.
Yes.
Sorry that all of our listeners vape and have tribal tattoos. But we all love pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that.
Pizza's the great unifier, everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so the villain, instead of just shooting him in the head, he leaves because they're clearly done. We don't need to stick around to clear supervillain notion. Mm-hmm. And then the one dude has a bionic arm and goes snap, and he presses the button because the other two biker mice have passed out with critical brain damage, clearly, at this point. And they all escape from the water. Ooh, there it goes. They immediately jump out into a whirlpool puddle, which I didn't really understand. This is like 10 seconds after they escape and say, we're fine. I blinked and they're in a whirlpool about to get sucked down into the bottom of the depths again. Thankfully, one of them grabbed the lip of the whirlpool and yanked himself out of it, which, Chan, I'm no science jerk. I don't think that's how whirlpools work. Is it just a hole that water exists around? Or is there a different science that I'm not aware
Hold
of?
Hold on, wait up. I'm not even paying attention.
Oh, yes. This.
First off, 1983. Axe has been around since 1983.
No, yeah, well, but Nintendo, they weren't
Nintendo's
Axe.
Been around since the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly. Konami's like, been making games since 1890. It's
yeah,
not...
but it didn't become like relevant and popular until much later. I would argue that the early mid-2000s was the golden age of Axe.
Thank you. As everyone calls it from this moment forward. Mm-hmm. Chan, I've been around since the 70s. That don't mean I've been relevant.
You're still not.
Still not at all. Oh.
I'm just saying that.
Eileen, no one had to say it.
I did, though.
I was going to let the audience make that leap themselves.
I am the audience.
I'm glad you're here, Eileen.
I'm here with my two friends. And a baby.
Are you saying that Egon is not your friend?
We're not there yet.
Oh, no.
I'm covering his ears. That's horrible.
I mean, hold on. I can ask the one
Say
question.
Say that thing to a baby. He's not even 3 months old.
It's on my side. Like, I'm feeling, I like Egon. I just don't know how he feels about me yet.
It's fair.
Uh-huh.
I come on Look. Way too strong.
Has he had pizza yet?
Yeah, has he had pizza yet?
He has not had pizza
So yet. How can we even know?
Yeah.
Oh, you're judging him based on if he likes pizza or not?
Well, it's a grand unifier. We've established this like 50 unifier. Times in this episode.
So if he doesn't like it, then he's some sort of monster.
I'm afraid. Yeah, we're going to have to cut ties.
Then you birthed a monster. You specifically birthed him.
So moving forward... Grand, we get back to the villains again, and then the corporate villain Limburger is feeling high on his high horse, so he says, no butt greeting, you have to kiss my ass now, because you made an order and I filled it? But wouldn't they still yet need more orders after the fact? His job as the cog in this machine isn't exactly like, not out of, you know, out of possibility of disappearing. Like, why is he being a dick to the president king of the fish? I don't get it, Chan.
Explain it, Chan.
You wrote this.
Yeah, you wrote this.
It's possible that this other culture is a plutocracy, which ruled by the richest.
It seems likely.
And honestly, this fella has created a product that has such high demand. He has cornered the market, obviously. He's the only one that can produce it. They had to increase the order 64,000 times, and he delivered
on
time.
And he delivered it in one day. That's pretty impressive.
I think it's possible that this other leader, his job could have been in jeopardy because
Interesting.
He now, you know, the balance of power has shifted. So now, of course, he takes some liberties, as you do when you have power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And you're an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he wasn't an asshole the whole time.
No, I think
he gets to show it now. That's the true Hollywood dream right there.
Yes.
Speaking of butt greetings.
Oh, dear.
He is basically jerking off into a plant right now is what he's doing.
I get it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? That all holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that the biker mice are actually still alive. And so he hires Mudfish Murder, the redneck fish hitman with the giant bulldozer, as the freak of the week in order to destroy the biker mice from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is basically, what if the Larry the Cable Guy character from Cars lacked the subtlety?
Yeah.
It's funny because he's an out there character already, Ray.
Thanks, Eileen. So he shows up. In this, and they're now they're fighting the biker mice can't go anywhere because they have regular bikes and they're in mud. The remaining what was left of because they didn't turn it to toxic waste really. They got rid of the water and left the mud behind.
Right, they didn't have time to do that. As established in the episode, they're going to just suck up the water and flavor it on site on the premises rather than doing it in the lake as they did the first time.
Thank you. They have a space silo up in low orbit that they teleported all the water to.
A giant space tea kettle, if you will.
Thank you. That's open topped, which is kind of
In space, yeah.
In space. Yep. I find that absolutely amazing totally that the water's normal, stuck totally there. Natural. They must have some sort of gravity pull on the insides of it because the water, in theory, would just disappear.
Also, nobody notices that there is a ginormous water retention facility
they do not.
In low Earth orbit. Above Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This is again why I say, why don't you get the feds involved at some point?
You can't leave it up to the feds.
Sound point.
So, yeah, so Mudfish Murder shows up and I'm going to get these biker boys. Maybe that's my impression. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's been like 2 hours. I could be getting that wrong. But there's a couple of quotes from this fight scene that ensue that I'd love to pull up. Because the biker mice get – this is where the winch comes in, and they get pulled out of the mud where their bikes are completely useless because they're two-wheelers in mud. Mm-hmm. And so Charlie sets them up with the four-wheel ATV versions. And a couple of quotes here maybe you could pull from me, unless you already kind of have an idea what I'm pulling from here. There's just some catchphrases that just
– I tell you what, I honestly – my eyes glazed over during this entire fight. I was like, you know what? This is probably going to last about 2 minutes. I'm just going to check out and think happy thoughts the entire time.
It's a bit like a Michael Bay fight scene. There's going to be punching and things blowing up. Really nothing clear, no stakes. It's just, and then at the end, somebody's going to win.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be our hero. Spoiler alert.
Here was the one that I noticed and I was like, I don't know if I feel good about this or bad about this, because it's one of my favorite lines in cinematic history.
To flatten your enemies, to hear them crush beneath your monster tires, to hear the lamentations of their womenfolk.
Pure Conan pull, and I loved it. Yeah, and it seemed very out of place for Murray the truck driver.
Yeah, that's what I was like. This here's some like reasonably smart writers just like, I can't believe this is my job. You know what? I'm just going to start slotting in like shit that doesn't belong here just for my own amusement.
Guys, we've already banged out like 45 of these fucking Biker Mice from Mars episodes. Like, where do we even go from here? You want to throw a Conan quote?
We've established so much of a rich history.
We've world built so large.
We are J.R.R. Tolkien, what he wished he could be.
They've written 15 languages of mice. the quote that I wanted, and it's actually at the end. So the base of the biker mice use their guns to shoot the levers of the bulldozer to cause it to lift mud in the air and then drop it on top of the bulldozer. Now, I'm no spatial physics kind of guy, but he only drops one load of it, and it seems like it covers roughly the size of Delaware with one scoop of this mud. It just looking at it from an outsider's perspective, these does not add up together. However,
it's bigger on the inside.
They express socialist concern for him, if you can have the quote that I'm looking for here.
Looks like our friend here got an early retirement.
Hope he qualifies for Medicare.
I mean, they're looking out for their enemies. I hope he qualifies for Medicare.
Me too.
Hope socialist medicine saves this one. I don't know. That's just great. And then once again, do you have the line from Charlie? Just the sad.
Right.
This is where I really like felt bad for her.
They just go blazing off into the sunset and...
Let's go divine for that missing water, bros.
Don't mention it.
Like, wow.
They don't.
They will not.
No, they will not.
They're not interested in your woman feelings. They got some you know, extreme busting to do.
Here's the thing. If you ask your wife, significant other, a friend that like a coworker to drag out three sets of four-wheel drive modification kits for your bike and a giant winch to drag your bikes out of the mud or whatever like that.
And not just that, like, that's just the stuff we saw. Could we actually assume she didn't know these were the exact circumstances and maybe brought two dozen different giant pieces of machinery with her just for whatever she needed in the moment?
Then you're like, thank you. And.
Yes. Preach.
It's a zero-stake situation. You just happen to be at a you're driving along the five, you're like, oh, I want to go off-roading. And you ask this person to do this thing, and then they do this for you. You're like, thank you so much. You are a wonderful human being. All that you've done, this all this time and effort that you've taken for me, thank you. And they're about to die. She saves their life and like, yep. Fuck you, bitch, I'm out.
That's a double bird chance flipping the studio right now.
Mm-hmm. In front of his baby.
Oh, he's...
Oh, I'm sure there's times it's happened at his baby. let's not kid ourselves. We've been there. there's so many lines from this that kind of just, they hit me in the wrong way, and I think that's on purpose. They find they get to where they are, and it says no entry, which bro takes no entry to mean something very different.
Mm-hmm. That's a personal invitation in my book.
No means no, Biker Mice from Mars.
Time's up. Biker Mike from Mars.
I mean, it absolutely is for these biker mice. Their time has been up for a very long time.
For decades, actually.
And yet I can change them.
I say, that is not how it works, random biker mice from Mars. Do you know the names of any of the three of them off the top of your head?
No, I just...
I can't. I didn't pick up a single one of them.
There's abs, and abs. That's what I call them in my head.
I remember one of them was Vinny because I was like, "What? Why,
Vinny?
Why
Vinny
would you
the rat.
Do that?"
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There was another one called Moto.
Because yeah, okay.
Obviously, these are all things that
these were clearly workshopped heavily.
These are things that I had to Wikipedia because I did not pick up.
I don't think they said their names a single time.
I did
episode.
Hear Vinny,
well, because you don't need to because there's such a rich backstory.
Hold on! Whoa! Wait a minute! Wait a minute! When you say backstory, Eileen, are you talking about their butts? Is every time that you've been saying backstory, are you actually in your head picturing these mouse butts, these hard, taut, bounce a quarter off of mouse butts?
I'm always thinking about butts.
You guys, every butt has a story.
Every butt has a story, and... I just want to know every story.
Everybody has a story, mm-hmm. A backstory, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. So
rich.
So they break in through the front door. God bless America. They break in through the front door using the greatest battle plan ever. Let's just blindly go in the front door and see what happens. It turns out to not work well because they get somehow teleported. Now, why would you do this? They get teleported.
You could teleport them anywhere.
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 Just into open space, really.
You could have teleported them that same distance to the left.
Yes.
And it would have been fine.
You know where we should put them? The one place we can't afford to have them be. So they teleport them to the satellite and then all high five like, yep, job's done.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking for one moment like, huh, that place that's holding the stuff that we really need maybe isn't the place our greatest enemies should be right now. Bad thinking. Stinking thinking on the part of the villains.
Ooh,
in this
stinking one. Thinking.
Getting back to corporate speak there. So here we go. They shoot out the bottom of the tank, which they establish is in low orbit and also hanging right above Lake Michigan,
uh-huh. Yep.
Coincidentally. And then they ride the wave surf style all the way down to Earth. You would Yeah. You would still die when you hit the planet, though, wouldn't you? Like,
not
gravity...
if you're singing Beach Boys songs.
Okay, excuse me. I'm clearly incorrect. I will yield to the science master on
yeah,
this.
That's definitely a thing.
And all the water gets restored. Now, why? Okay, in the water, we have like 90 seconds to wrap this thing up at this point. So they radically surf down, refill all of Lake Michigan. So no spillage. I mean,
perfect.
Good job. Good job, those guys. I guess they steered it with their surfing bikes.
No, the water began to corkscrew on its own, and they rode down the corkscrew. They were not at the front of it at any point.
I thought they were, by the time it hit the Earth, I thought they were at the front of it. I don't know. Who
that's
cares?
That's not how gravity works, but gravity does not operate as per normal in these cartoons. So
but this also, and I didn't really understand anything about it. Like, I basically mentally checked out completely at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why does one pipe get overstuffed and then burst the building of the bad guys and nowhere else in the city? And then they're like, the upper part of their building literally explodes and shoots a torrent of water up in the air that our four villains are riding and shouting at each other?
Yeah. As
I didn't really understand how that works.
At some point, because we established that the pipe that was leading from Lake Michigan to the building was there. I don't know why everything else didn't also flood out, because it also went through the sewer system.
Right.
So.
But not just that. It's the pipe isn't connected, because they teleported it, didn't they, to the space station? It's not like there was a pipe that led through the building to the space station.
But the pipe went from the lake to the building and then transported from there up.
So like a wormhole.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't the water go through the fucking wormhole?
Because he turned it off.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I was just too busy thinking about the abs.
Yeah. No. At the beginning of this, I was like, Eileen's spending too much time thinking about how sexy these mice are.
Uh-uh.
By the end, I'm like,
I'm not spending
enough time. That was a solid call. That was from the get-go. I should have been thinking the same thing.
You should have.
I should have been thinking about getting like some like Hawaiian tropic lotion and just like rubbing on those sweet, sweet.
Not where I thought you were going with
Martian
that.
Mouse abdominal muscles.
Ab rubs are a thing.
What? Rubbing suntan lotion into abs?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's the thing. I wouldn't know.
I see what you did there.
Oh, God damn it. Guys, we established earlier I stay indoors 24/7.
That's true.
How would I know what a beach is? I've been to the beach here in LA. I've been to Redondo Beach. I've been to the where the ocean meets the sand. But it was at like 1 in the morning. I got a nice moon tan.
That's the saddest thing I've ever
It was
heard.
Very relaxing, Eileen, and I just moved to L.A. and I was sad.
Have you not been to the beach since?
No.
Oh,
you can't see the look that I'm giving Ray right now.
I don't know how you could be more disappointed in me, but I also don't understand how you wouldn't already know those things.
I don't. It's the beach, Ray. It's...
Yeah. We should take a big field trip to the beach.
Please, guys. I try to make my way to the beach at least once a month. That's just a little thing I do because I live here.
Look at you. Taking advantage of the local color.
Mm-hmm. I went 2 weekends ago. It was lovely.
Oh. I literally went in 2006.
That was the
last time I was at the beach.
I do try
That's
and go,
not weird,
but
guys,
when you live in the valley, that is a long haul to get to.
Further now.
Worth it.
Further now. Then we have one more bit here. Limburger says, "Do I still get my promotion that you were going to offer me?" And he goes, "Yes, you'll be the vice president of drying my backside."
Hmm.
Which means there's a precedent of drying my backside already in place. And we
I nominate
want to use
me.
No, this is the bad fish person.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
This is not the one you want.
It was weird, though, that when the president was all like, "This is not my idea of a good time," as they're splashing through the water, I'm like, "You're fish. Of course that's your idea of a good time.
I would think this is a defined good time to you."
The logic is flawed here, and I don't appreciate it.
A couple other things I noticed from the closing credits. I was promised that this was not a Bob Forward episode. Brian Rapp suggested this episode to us and said, "Ray, I promise you I'm not giving you another Bob Forward written episode." Mm. But then the immediate first credit that pops up, story editor, Bob Forward.
Yeah, he was definitely the boss.
So he had his dirty mitts all over this thing. Good tricking, Brian Rapp. You got me. You got me to watch a Bob Forward episode with that. It wasn't really a Bob Forward episode, but was very much a Bob Forward episode. My nemesis in life.
What?
Wow.
Jess Winfield is
was he the one that wrote this episode?
This episode.
Yes.
He is a founding member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, shit. Jesus.
Yeah.
Because, of course.
Theater nerds are losing their mind right now.
I'm losing my mind right now.
Just something there for you.
Got to pay the bills.
Yep.
Also, one of the other actors I noticed, did you notice who the third actor of note was from this?
Ian Ziering.
Ian Ziering of the Sharknado fame. That's where I know him from, guys. I believe he did some TV show or something before that. But Ian Ziering of Sharknado did some minor character in this. I didn't really pay attention
to it. No, he's the third mouse.
Is he the third mouse? Yes. Why is he the last? Oh, it was probably alphabetical.
He's Vinny.
It was probably alphabetical last name.
Rob Paulson is Throttle, and Dorian Harewood is Modo.
Again, they workshop those names deeply into the night.
Oh, yes. There's probably like 20 episodes just about those characters' families and how like it's a family name that they pass it along.
I guarantee right now that if there was a writer's room for this where they created the concept, there were maybe 5 to 7 names of the mice that were on the initial idea board, and all 3 of those names were part of that initial offering. I guarantee that right now. Nowhere do they keep one and say, "Give me 15 more." No, we found it. Guys, why go forward? I go Bob forward.
Whoa.
We found it.
If this makes you feel any better,
it won't.
Eileen.
This is about me.
Dorian Harewood, who plays Lead Mouse, also in Space Jam.
That does make me feel better because I love Space Jam.
Guys, that's really on brand for Eileen.
It's really on brand. Follow me on Twitter. I'm verified, and I also tweet a lot about Space Jam. Blue check mark.
If you like back and forth with misogynists, you'll love Eileen's Twitter account. Her go-to line is, "Hey, this is going really well for you right now."
Oh, I did say that.
Well, that's the end. Eileen, what'd you think of Biker Mice from Mars? Is this a show you would watch again on your own time?
Oh, I mean, maybe if the mood was right.
Just lights low.
Jesus.
Light some candles. Some
Teddy Pendergrass playing in the background.
Pour myself some rosé.
This may be the one show I would try to find you an animation cell for, just of a butt or an ab.
Again, my birthday's in March. March 9th.
Yeah, I remembered this show as being highly forgettable. And it
How did you do that?
Yep, exactly, Chan. And it did not disappoint. Thank you. I've been wanting to do an episode of Biker Mice from Mars for years.
Aww.
Because I had such a fond memory of its absolute horribleness. Mm-hmm. And I would say this episode, on point. I mean, I being from Michigan, I appreciated that I was given an episode about a lake next to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're here as the Chicagoan.
I am the Chicagoan.
I have said. And Chan, who grew up in Long Beach?
Wait, what? What? How did you get Long Beach? I don't even. The only thing I want to know is your thought process.
I was trying to tie it to bodies of water.
Uh huh.
Long Beach.
I mean, there's the entire Pacific Ocean that you could have drawn from.
Somehow Long Beach is what came to my chan. Don't ask how my addled brain works. That's how my reference level sticks.
Were you just driving here, listening to Snoop Dogg, and you're like,
well, yes.
I assume that all black people come from Long Beach. Right?
First off,
the LBC?
The LBC.
Oh.
He was my favorite president, just for the record. Mm-hmm. The LBC. Chan, any final thoughts on Biker Mice from Mars?
I didn't have beginning thoughts. There were no thoughts running through my head whatsoever.
Well, thank you, Brian Rapp, so much for the suggestion. We will be asking for more suggestions. We're going to start, I mean, if you guys saw my Patreon post about it, we're going to try to do at least one episode of Patreon-only episode, along with all the bonus content we're going to start being able to churn out. We're still kind of figuring out the process for that, so it's a little muddy right now. But we are going to do...
You're going to have bonus squalls from a baby every once in a while.
You got
Enjoy
that.
Enjoy that.
Dig it. I'm leaving them all in. And so also we're going to be doing G.I. Joe the movie very, very soon. We still haven't figured out exactly. I want to maybe do a three-parter of G.I. Joe the movie. I don't think we need to break it down into a full five episodes of a thing. But give me your suggestions. Patreon suggestions are now going to be incorporated into the main feed in addition to being Patreon-only episodes. That's something we talked about. And I think that's cool. Something we can do.
Yeah.
And I see Chan's nodding approval as if we've never talked about this before.
I do not recall that at all.
You guys do not communicate well because Chan asked me to be a guest today and sent me the episode. And then the next day, Ray IMs me, not privately, but in a group chat that we have with our friend Meg Silfone, and asked me if I wanted to be on the podcast.
Why did you drag Meg into this?
Meg was already part of the conversation, and it was in the moment, and I said, I'll just ask right now. Boundaries aren't a thing. Anything I say to Eileen, I can say to Meg.
Oh.
Also, why haven't we had
Meg
on the show?
She's also from Chicago.
There it is.
Guys, have Meg on. She's great.
We should have Meg on.
Have me and Meg on, and we'll just sass you, because we're two sassy ladies from Chicago.
Boy, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but I think our listeners might be.
I think they are.
Gracious. Eileen, where can people find you on social media?
Okay, I don't know if this hasn't come up, but I am on Twitter. I don't like to brag about it, because I'm very humble, but I'm also verified on Twitter. It's no big deal, guys. It's no big deal.
Wow.
It's fine. I'm just like you. But yeah, follow me on Twitter at @I_lean. And
clever.
And that's very clever.
Eileen's just like the rest of us. She eats her pizza just like we do, with little pizzas on top of it.
Little pizza.
Little cheeseburger.
Oh,
that
my
actually
God.
Looks delicious. Okay. Sham found a picture of the pizza from earlier mentioning. That, I would eat good. That. I would actually eat that. I might get that right now. Try to make it at home.
Not in the U.S. I don't think it ever came to the
U.S. I would travel for that. That would get me out of my house.
Wow.
The actual, when you actually get the pizza, it looks a little more like this. People were complaining.
Oh, dear.
Like, that picture doesn't look anything like what you actually get.
But have you ever complained because the McDonald's food menu pictures look nothing? Like, your Big Mac is not, like, bright and, like, towering. It's always just smooshed down as if by someone's foot. Come on. That's just... That's... No truth in advertising, guys.
Wow.
Wow, it's dark, man.
Let's just quietly think about that for a second.
Yeah, I don't think we need to give any more contact information.
Real
I hit the corporations, you guys. Goodness. Not always your friends.
No.
It's brutal.
Wow.
Very strange pull in this episode for me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Ooh, they're so in sync.
We're like Justin Timberlake and that other one.
Which other? There's so many. There's four other.
There's
ones.
Really only one member of NSYNC who means anything. Wait, is Joey Fatone in there?
Yes, Lance Bass.
He's the fat one.
Yes, he is. His Twitter profile, I don't know if it still does, but his profile used to just say, "I'm the fat one." And I thought that was very funny.
Sometimes things are so on the nose, like you just don't even need to leave it alone.
Hope he qualifies for Medicare.
Yeah, well, let's go.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god!
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.